are addressing these issues, we aren't just addressing ideas, we're dismantling someone's worldview and their sense of reality. And you cannot do that haphazardly.
Welcome to the Mama Bear Apologetics Podcast,
a podcast where we teach you to roar like a mother.
And by roar, we mean recognize the message, offer discernment, argue for a healthier approach, and reinforce these ideas with your kids.
Unless you want to growl around your house. I mean, that's cool too. You're like, check it. We keep it reals.
That's so bad.
You're awesome.
Mama Bear Apologetics is a listener-supported program, so if you like what we do, head on over to the Mama Bear Apologetics website and click support.
It's time to rise up, ladies.
Rise up, Mama Bears. This might not affect your faith,
but it might affect your children's.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Mama Bear Apologetics podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you raise children who think critically, love biblically, and stand firm in the faith using truth and reason. Well, for the past few days, I have been listening to perhaps the most impactful podcast of 2024, and that is the Wesley Huff interview. Now, I'm not talking about just his appearance on the Joe Rogan, I believe it's Experience. I started watching that, by the way, and my mom cred immediately went up with my high schoolers. They're like, Mom, you're watching Joe Rogan? Are you getting into MMA? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. That's so what I'm doing right now. Oh, no, watching this great interview. But it wasn't just that interview that was amazing. It was the original interview that actually launched Wes on Joe's show between him, meaning Wes, with Billy Carson. That aired actually at the end, I want to say middle of November of 2024. It was phenomenal. And it wasn't just that interview. It was, you know, Wes's later response. It was Mark Maynard's response to the fallout that happened after the release of the original Billy Carson interview. I mean, it's wild. The Kardashians don't have this much drama going on. So as I was watching these interviews, what struck me wasn't the amazing defense for the faith that Wes gave, which it was incredible, but it was the way in which he conducted himself in the midst of not just Joe Rogan's interview, but also Billy Carson's interview and the hostility that was experienced there. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this would be great for my kids to watch. Because here is a real-time reflection of how it is that we are to make a defense for the faith. I mean, it's 1 Peter 3:15 and Colossians 4:6 all wrapped up together to where we are to give a defense that's not only seasoned with salt, but we're doing so that respects the other person, that's seasoned with salt, that is heaping full of truth. It's incredible the way that Wes handled himself. So as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, okay, what are some things that I can now pass off to my kids, which led to this podcast. So this podcast is all about the five ways that the Wesley Huff interview showed us how to be a better apologist. Now, I'm going to list out these five ways for you in just a second, but will help contextualize this is if you watch the interviews ahead of time. Now, I know depending on your family situation, that may not work out. Full disclosure, the original interview between Wesley Huff and Billy Carson that was hosted by Mark Maynard, which the link is going to be in our podcast notes, that one is kid-friendly, meaning there, as best to my knowledge, I do not recall one swear word ever being used on that podcast. Now, the Joe Rogan Experience, totally different situation. I give that one kind of a verbal PG-13 rating. I mean, if you've got a 15-year-old, honestly, they've heard this language in the locker room or you know, go to Walmart on a Sunday afternoon, you're going to hear that sort of language. Joe is crunchy, so be aware of that. Test your audiences because you definitely don't want a little one spouting off with some of the words that Joe says. But it's just an excellent interaction of this Christ-like behavior of how do we interact with someone that doesn't share a worldview that is a little, you know, testy, a little, they got an abundance of personality. We'll go with that one. How do we interact charitably and lovingly with them? So it helps if you watch those ahead of time, which we'll have that there, but you don't have to have this good discussion. Now, for those of you who may not know, Wesley Huff, he is the director of Apologetics Canada. He had his master's in theology, and he is also working on his PhD in New Testament at the University of Toronto Wycliffe College. And he's considered an expert in early scriptural scribal culture and early manuscripts. So what set all this off is he was invited on Mark Maynard's
podcast to discuss with Billy Carson. Now, Billy Carson, I have not looked into his background extensively with regards to his worldview. It's definitely very eclectic, very new agey, very word of faith. He's got a lot of ancient Egyptian imagery that's in there as well. I mean, it is definitely pieced together in a very interesting array that I've still got to dive into. But what happened is Billy Carson obviously has some very unique worldview issues regarding scripture, who Jesus is, all of that sort of thing. And so Mark Maynard, they're friends, they're neighbors actually. And so they were going to have a podcast discussing these issues. And Mark Maynard did not feel equipped enough to be able to give a good defense, a good discussion. And so he had heard about Wesley Huff. He reached out to him and said, "Hey, would you mind coming on our podcast tomorrow and discussing with Billy Carson?" And Wesley Huff said, "Sure." So 24 hours notice. And so what Wes did apparently is he hopped on, watched a few of Billy's videos just to kind of familiarize himself with who Billy was, and they had a podcast together. And I don't think it quite went as well as what Billy Carson expected, because the fallout is Billy Carson was exposed as having a lot of false beliefs, as we're going to see in a second. It resulted in some lawsuits, threats, not only against Mark Maynard, but Wesley Huff himself to remove the podcast so that way his character wasn't besmirched. Because unfortunately with Billy Carson, it wasn't just his name on the line. He's got a whole ministry, how he makes money. All of this is tied into it. So when this podcast came out, it's directly impacting his current revenue service. And there was just a huge fallout from it. But the blessing of that is not only were falsehoods exposed, but now Joe Rogan became aware of Wesley Huff, which led to this amazing podcast that lasted 3 hours on the Joe Rogan Show. So after that podcast, after watching it, and I ended up watching it 2.5 times, I noticed five important tips to be a better apologist just packed into that podcast, as well as the Billy Carson podcast and some of the responses as well. And so I just wanted to lay those out for you here so that way we can pass them on to our kids. So the very first tip, study hermeneutics, because how we interpret the Bible matters. So hermeneutics, that is the reading, interpretation, and the right application of scripture. In fact, there's a phenomenal book that teaches you how to do this, and it's called Grasping God's Word by Duvall and Hayes. I absolutely love this. In fact, if you're a homeschool family and you've got high schoolers, this is a fantastic resource to use. You can buy the workbooks, everything. It's great for learning how to apply scripture. And what Duvall and Hayes expose is this basically five-step process for how to rightly discern scripture. So when you approach scripture, what we want to be careful of is that we don't take our 21st century eyes, standards, perceptions, and now hold an ancient document accountable to our 21st century morality, assumptions, biases, all of these things. And so what Duvall and Hayes lay out are 5 steps on how to rightly interpret and apply scripture. So the very first step of that is a reflection question. So when you are reading a passage, which by the way, you need to read a passage, not just cherry pick verses, because those can easily be co-opted to affirm or deny all sorts of things. I mean, if you watch the Billy Carson interview, you'll see Wes calling that out several times. But the very first step is, how does what's being said relate to the original audience? Because as Wes Huff affirms, scripture was written for us, but not to us. In fact, there is on average 2,000 years distance between the original audience and ourselves. And so what we need to do is, first, as we're reading this passage, understand, how does this relate to the original audience? Now, an important tool that you can actually use to help you do this is the Cultural Applications Study Bible, because that Bible has footnotes specifically at the bottom of the page that help you understand the culture in which you are reading the original writings. So it just helps you grasp what is going on. So that's step one. How does it relate to the original audience? Step two, what are the differences between the original audience and us? And there are innumerable differences, but it's important to understand those differences, because while we do seem culturally, especially technologically, morality-wise, we are quite a bit different, there's also a lot of similarities too. But it's important to know the differences, because step three is what we have to do is we have to discern the core theological principle within the text. So step three, determine the core theological principle within the text. Now, you are going to fact check your discernment ability with step four. How does that principle fit within the rest of the Bible and align to the nature of God? So you want to make sure that the core theological principle, as you're looking at, does this core theological principle that I've discerned, does it fit within the rest of the Bible? And does it align with the nature and character of God? If the answer is yes, boom, you've done a solid interpretation skill. If it doesn't, well, you have made a mistake in some way, shape, or form. So you need to go back and see how you can discern the original theological principle, how you can come to a better conclusion. Perhaps maybe you're misunderstanding the tone, the context, the nature of the writings, the people in which it was written to. All of these factors need to stay in play. So how does it align with the rest of the gospel? And then step five, or the rest of the Bible, how should Christians today live out this principle? While there are vast differences between the original audience and us today, the core theological principle is applicable and it transcends ages and generations. I mean, think about it. While we have TikTok, cell phones, Instagram, all of these things, the core principles regarding modesty and self-control still apply, even though they didn't have to worry about the things that maybe we have to worry about today. So we're able to now rightly apply the theological principle today. Now, this is especially important. So that's just hermeneutics. And another important aspect is textual criticism, meaning being able to read, discern, know the background of the original books, how we can know that these were actually written by the original authors, that they were rightly transcribed over generations. All of these things are especially important when you're interacting with somebody who perhaps denies the authority of scripture, which Billy Carson does repeatedly. In fact, he often applies to apocryphal books, forgive my pronunciation, the pseudepigrapha books. So pseudo, you know, these were books that were written in the name of a certain person, usually someone within the works of scripture, but it actually wasn't written by them. So these are easily falsifiable. They have geographical errors. They have textual errors. They have theological errors. They're later written than the person would have lived. There's all sorts of issues with these books, but a lot of people will now ascribe those books as true and completely deny the authority of scripture. And so that's why it's so important for us to not only study the hermeneutics as well, but textual criticism. So this way, this helps us as we are interacting with unbelievers. So first and foremost, what's the first tip we learned through these interviews? Study hermeneutics. It's so important for us to rightly apply scripture because so many of the stumbling blocks, especially as you'll see in the interviews, are done because of bad hermeneutics or bad textual criticism or bad methodology, as we'll see here in a second.
Hey, it's Hillary with Mama Bear Apologetics. Did you know that we spend on average of 90% of our time indoors, but that indoor air can be up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air? My husband and I moved this last summer and immediately had our basement flood and had everything torn out of the basement. So when my parents came to spend a week, my dad was sneezing like crazy. And all of a sudden, like 3 days in, I was like, oh my gosh, we have not unpacked the Air Doctor Pro. Breathe Easy with Air Doctor Pro is the award-winning air purifier that eliminates 99.99% of dangerous contaminants like allergens, viruses, smoke, gases, mold spores, and more. And I can say that for a fact with mold spores because we did find mold. Air Doctor was also voted the best air purifier by Newsweek. So it's no surprise that 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that their home's air feels cleaner, safer, and healthier. Unlike other air purifiers, Air Doctor captures particles that are 100 times smaller than the standard HEPA filters. So head over to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code MBA, like Mama Bear Apologetics, to get up to $300 off today. Yes, you heard that. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't like it, send it back. Plus a 3-year warranty. That's an $84 value, all free, just by being a Mama Bear Apologetics podcast listener. Get this exclusive podcast-only offer at airdoctorpro.com. That is AirDoctorPro.com. Use the promo code MBA, like Mama Bear Apologetics.
So step two, honor each person's imago Dei while you're addressing falsehoods and mistakes, especially if you are addressing falsehoods and mistakes. So as the original, the reason why Billy Carson didn't want the original podcast put out, because it utterly exposed his poor methodology and his teaching and embrace of falsehood. And so this completely undermined his authority as an individual, as an educated individual as well. Completely undermined it, which is why he wanted all of these podcasts removed and everything. But what floored me was West was so charitable when he was interacting with it. There were points where Billy Carson was appealing to the Book of Barnabas, to the Book of Philip at times. There were multiple documents that he was using that were outright forgeries and known forgeries. I mean, he would say, well, it's in the Harvard library. And West would be like, yes, it is, but it's also a known forgery. It's kept there because it's impressive. It's still an ancient document, even though it is an outright lie. And one thing that West realized, you actually see it on his face, is as he's addressing these issues, he's realizing the future implications of debunking this guy's beliefs, because he's not just affecting Billy Carson's worldview. He's also affecting the ministry that Billy Carson has been leading and leading in error. And so he is overly apologetic. And he says repeatedly, like, look, Billy, I have nothing against you as a person. But we do have to address this issue. He was addressing the objective truth. And whenever Wes addressed the objective truth issues, then Billy Carson would often appeal to subjective feeling, to where there were books that Billy Carson would appeal to, and Wes would say, I'm sorry, but these were actually known forgeries. And Billy Carson would respond with, well, I just don't believe that that's true. And so we actually see this shift. I believe it's in William Lane Craig's On Guard book, where it talks about this shift within atheism, where originally atheism was the belief that there is no God. And now atheism has shifted to, I don't believe in God. So the statement that there is no God, that's one that can actually be reasoned, objected, and debated. But the second, this shift within atheism to where it's like, well, I personally don't believe in God. Well, that's somebody's subjective feelings. That's like, you know, saying, oh, I feel hot in here. And someone coming up to me be like, no, you don't. It's like, how do you know? You're not me. And so that's what we see happening within the interview, is Wes Huff would answer the objective truth claim. And then Billy Carson would then try to appeal to a subjective belief system. Where, oh, well, I don't believe that. It's like, well, this is a fact issue. We can't agree to disagree on actual objective facts. But anytime that Wes did that, he goes, look, I got nothing against you. I'm just being respectful, but I'm sorry. It appears that you have done a lot of study on this, but what you're saying, it actually isn't true. This book isn't true. These conclusions are actually false. This is actually a misinterpretation of scripture. And he was so charitable throughout all of it. It was mind-boggling, especially in today's culture, where when you have two opposing views, the goal is not to understand the other individual. The goal is to destroy them, like destroy them as a person. We saw that fallout so much within the political debates last year. So to see somebody who actually recognizes and affirms the dignity of their opponent and recognizes the future implications of what they're about to do, and they still do it, but they do it so charitably, lovingly, in such a Christ-like manner. It's mind-blowing, because that's exactly how we are to do our witness. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a time and a place for more of that righteous indignation, more of that Peter-like passion. There is a time and a place for that. But more often than not, when we are interacting with individuals, we are to be like Christ when he spoke to the woman at the well, or Zacchaeus in the tree. We are recognizing their humanity. We are addressing their falsehoods in love, because ultimately it is Christ who saves. And Wes was addressing these issues. And you know, for Billy, he deflected each and every one. He just utterly rejected them. And his witness, I don't think it was just for Billy. It was, I think, for the people who were listening, for the people who have been following Billy Carson's ministry. Because if you scroll down and read the comments of those interviews, so many people, there's so many testimonies that are going on there. Like, I was walking away from the church for years, and this podcast, this floored me. This brought me back to church. Or I had been listening to Billy and I was all sold out on him until I started actually listening. And now I realize I've been in bondage to lies for years because of this man. But because of this interview, that's changed. I mean, it's incredible the way God is using this. And as we'll see here in a second, there's definitely spiritual and physical pushback from that. And what really floored me as well, you know, this recognizing the Imago Dei, what really spoke as well as you're watching both of these interviews is the spiritual blessing of patience in the midst of this. I mean, there were so many points to where Wes was just like rocking in his chair, just ready with an answer, because this is what he's been studying for the past 8 to 12 years solidly within a seminary setting. This is his passion. This is his devotion. This is his ministry and his act of worship. And it's being slandered and misunderstood right in front of him. And he's just dying to be able to give these answers. And he's being cut off by Mark, who was desperately trying to help Billy because he could see that Billy was floundering. And, you know, or there were times where Billy just would not listen to him, would write him off altogether. And Wes never lost his cool. There were even times where he let things go, where I know there was so much he could have said, but instead he let them go to address the next thing, to be respectful, to be gracious. And that humility, that letting go of one's pride is incredible. I mean, that is utterly, that's the Holy Spirit working within you in that situation. Because if you're watching that interview as a believer, there are times where you kind of are like, oh my gosh, would you all just stop talking and let Wes actually defend himself or to give an answer, because he's got it. And so it's just incredible. It just brings to mind Ephesians 4:2, you know, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. It's just, here are these folks who he just bore with. And even, you know, Proverbs 19:11, you know, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. I mean, we just saw this great 2 hours of just patiently bearing with unbelievers, clarifying, being patient, being so gracious. I mean, when Billy up and leaves at the end of it, apparently he had some sort of appointment. I don't quite know how genuine that actually was. He leaves. I mean, Wes stays on just to even say, look, I am not here to embarrass him or to make him look foolish. I'm just here to answer the questions and to be faithful to God. And I mean, that was, just, it's refreshing. It's incredible. So one thing that we can take out with our kids, you know, that honoring each person's Imago Dei, that requires patience, that requires self-control. And it also requires boldness in the faithfulness to speak truth, because there was so much falseness going on. I mean, he was talking about Christ consciousness and all of these other things, which we'll have to get into in another podcast. But Wes was just amazing there, modeling the grace and patience of God. Now, point three. So we have already talked about the importance of hermeneutics, of recognizing the Imago Dei in the other person, especially when you are dismantling falsehood and mistakes that they have made. Number three is don't lose sight of the main thing. Now, this is especially prominent within the Joe Rogan podcast. So after 3 hours of just having this amazing discussion, I mean, they're bringing up images of like ziggurats and all these other things. It's incredible throughout it. There's a point at which Wes very gracefully turns the tables on Rogan and becomes himself the interviewer. So at the end of it, I mean, Rogan throughout those 3 hours is affirming, yeah, there's something more. There's something spiritual going on here. And so Wes takes an opportunity toward the end of it. I think it's at like 3 hours and 5 minutes, that mark, if you're on Spotify, where he asks him, he goes, okay, well, Joe, I got to ask you, what do you think of Jesus? In terms of your own journey to find answers to ultimate questions, he says, what do you think of the historical person of Jesus? And it was an amazing moment, because here is that accountability. Who is Christ? And for 2 minutes, Rogan kind of waxes on a little bit, and he sort of muses philosophically about all these amazing questions that Christ brings about. And you can basically, it can be reduced down to an, I don't know yet. That was his response. I don't know yet. In fact, what he actually says is that when you accept Christianity, it's not just you're accepting Christianity. He goes, there's a bunch of stuff to go that way. I mean, there's a bunch of things that come along with it. And Rogan's biggest hangup that he says is has to deal with the miraculous, which is very common for a lot of people, specifically the death, resurrection, ascension, and eventual coming back of Christ. That's something hard for him to wrap his mind around. And, you know, Wes just sits there and nods. And he's like, man, I get that. That is big and important issue to be able to discuss. But what this shows is that whenever we are giving an apologetic witness, we should never lose sight of the main thing, which is to bring as many people to the cross as possible. So sometimes we can get wrapped up with just having the answers to meet the argument, to maybe shut down the other person, you know, whatever that may be. And really, if we have our heart and our eyes focused in on Christ, the goal isn't just to answer the arguments or just to shut down the skeptic or answer the critic. It is, how can I word this truth to God in a way that brings them to Christ in the process? So as we're talking with our kids and we're watching this with our kids, what we need to encourage, especially our teenagers, is don't be ashamed of the moving of the Holy Spirit to get you to speak life and call to accountability the other person. Now, not every conversation will be the right time and place to ask that person, what do you think of Jesus? They may not be ready for that yet. There may be other issues that have to be addressed, emotions that just need to be heard and listened to. But when the Spirit moves, we do not need to be ashamed to then ask them, who is Jesus? Now, part four is perhaps my favorite. So if you watch the Joe Rogan interview, and depending, you know, if you're familiar with biblical history, facts, all of that sorts of things, you'll no doubt have picked up that there was a couple mistakes that Wes Huff made throughout the interview. You know, at one point he said that Jesus appeared to 400. He mistaken the 8th article within the Mormon faith with actually it was supposed to be the 10th article. And so after he got done, you know, people were texting him, emailing him, be like, hey, buddy, you know, you kind of messed up these things. And which resulted in one thing that just needs to be commonplace within the apologetic realm, and that is a self-rebuttal roast. So what Wes did, which was absolutely hilarious, is he took clips of himself on Joe Rogan and totally critiqued himself in the midst of those errors and things. And he used clips of, I have to look up his name, Jonathan Frakes, who was an actor on Star Trek. I mean, how nerdy do you have to be to use a guy from Star Trek to help roast you? I mean, it's just awesome, dude, like absolutely epic. But that's what he does. And so he has this Jonathan Frakes coming on at times going, lies, absolute falsehoods. I mean, it's hilarious as he's mocking himself in this funny rebuttal video. And it's just great because we are finite human beings. It was only the early apostles who were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit who wrote down the original autographs that are completely without error and have been reliably transcribed over thousands of years. It's absolutely phenomenal. But you know what? You, me, and the apologists that you're at the conference with, we're not them. We make mistakes. And Wes was so humble and hilarious in the way he did it. And that's something that we need to encourage, not only with ourselves, but with our kids, because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. As parents, we want ourselves to be absolutely perfect, to give these amazing speeches, you know, worthy of a movie and all these things to our kids. And you know what? We mess up. We make mistakes. Our kids as well, especially new believers who are so on fire for God. I'm talking that, you know, we're 2 days post-Christian camp or post-summit ministries and we're on fire, you know, all of these things. We can have this false perception that we need to know everything. And if we make a mistake, oh my gosh, Satan comes roaring in with all sorts of discouragements. How could you mess that up? See, you're not really a good enough Christian. How do you think you can actually speak life to someone when you mess up such a simple detail? Sweetheart, everybody messes up. If you talk long enough, you're going to make a mistake. Me personally, I've mixed up John Piper with John MacArthur at one point. Just recently within the Mary podcast, I had like this mental glitch moment where I made this completely wrong statement. And this lady was so loving. She wrote me a quick email and was like, hey, so this was said, and I was just kind of curious, you know, what's sort of the context there? Maybe I misunderstood. And I'm like, there's no way I said that. And then I went back through, I had accidentally said, like, I was trying to say that we need to, teach our girls, I think, to be submissive and loving. And it just came out like this crazy thing of like, we need to teach our girls to hate women. And I'm like, that is not something I would ever say or believe. And yet there it was, like complete brain glitch. And I went and thanked her profusely. I think I wrote her like two or three emails. I'm like, thank you so much, because this was missed even by our editor. And so we went through, we corrected it, like hoorah, but we're finite. We make mistakes. Even the higher ups that have all the book deals and everything, they make mistakes at times. And so we don't need to be so fearful of those mistakes, because they can be corrected. So three things that we can remind ourselves after that, you know, humility in addressing our own errors is, one, we're not infallible. We're going to make mistakes. Two, Mistakes can and should be corrected. We need to be humble enough to recognize, you know what, you're right, I made a mistake. And in fact, part of that is if you hear somebody make a mistake, be Christ-like, follow the biblical model, approach them. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe it was just a hiccup moment. I mean, there are so many things that can affect how we give a witness for Christ. I can tell you personally, getting up and speaking, those 2 minutes before we start talking, it's like I'm thrown into a complete existential crisis. I'm like, what am I doing? God, are you insane to use me? I mean, have you seen me? Like, this is your decision? Satan works so easily in those moments to get you discouraged. Sometimes there could be a crazy life thing that pops up right before an event to where now you're somewhat distracted by the life thing. Sometimes it's just a little bit of sensory overload on the environment. If there's a lot of people or if you're a little starstruck, I mean, good night. Sitting in front of Joe Rogan in his studio, like that would be an amazing experience. No wonder you kind of get a little flustered at times. There's so many variables. So if you maybe catch somebody in an error, approach them in a Christ-like manner. Hey, I saw this. Send them an email. You know, be charitable, be gracious, because more than likely it was just an accident, a misstep, a verbal slip up, that sort of thing. Now, if that person rejects that critique and continues to speak error, okay, that earns a more pointed and more public response to that, because now that person is working contrary to God. And if they are going to be very public about it, well, guess what? We can have a very public response, but that's not what we go to right out the gate. So again, mistakes can and should be corrected. And number three, take your work seriously, but don't take yourself so seriously that you can't make yourself the butt of a well-timed joke. Because I'm telling you, humor lights up the room. It makes things easier and it lets other people know, hey, guess what? I'm human too. I put my legs on or put my pants on one leg at a time, all those fun euphemisms. And it's just important for our kids to know, baby, you're going to make a mistake, but we have Christ-like humility. We can admit our mistakes and correct them. They describe an aspect of an event that we were in. They do not define us. And lastly, most importantly, especially for this time that we are living in, is we have to prepare for pushback. And pushback comes in two different ways. So it comes physically. And we actually saw this with the fallout of this interview. Again, this interview, it completely exposed Billy Carson and exposed the falsehood of the ministry that he is leading. And that affects money, status, clout, all of these things that are very sought after in our culture today. And so when we push back against that, when we fight against the spiritual realm, that comes with physical and spiritual pushbacks. Physical, Billy Carson's fan base pushed back a lot against Wesley Huff, Mark Maynard. I mean, just awful stuff. If you watch Mark Maynard's response of the fallout that happened after it of an alleged friend that completely soured immediately when he decided to release this podcast. It's wild. There have been legal threats, all sorts of things that have been going on at the fallout of this. And it makes sense because now the demonic realm is getting pushed back against. So of course they're going to try and rally. So this happens and manifests within the physical realm. And it also happens within the spiritual realm as well. There's spiritual warfare going on. The sense of discouragement that can heap in. I know of so many people who they will have a wonderful ministry experience. And the second they're done speaking, all of a sudden they're thrown almost into a state of depression because they are so discouraged. And it's like, what happened? Well, that's because Satan is rallying to try and get you to be silent. Sometimes these spiritual attacks can even manifest within technology. There have been myself, in fact, if you ever go to an apologetics conference, ask one of their speakers, hey, have you experienced just sort of spiritual issues going on whenever you get up and speak? Every single one of them is going to say something that happens. And technology is a huge, it's an easy way for Satan to attack. And you actually saw this within the Wes Huff and Billy Carson interview. Now, it's very possible that this could have just been, maybe the internet was a little glitchy, but I can tell you from personal experience, when you are pushing back and calling out Satan right to his face, the easiest way that spiritual warfare goes on is tech failure. I mean, it's to the point where power's gone off to my house, power's gone off to the giant room that about to speak in, internet glitches out. I mean, it's wild, the stuff that goes on. It is not science fiction. It is actual fact that ends up happening. And so what we need to do for our kids is recognize, baby, what you're doing, yes, you are doing godly work for the kingdom, but understand When you are working for the kingdom, you are waging war against the demonic realm, and the demonic realm is going to push back. They're going to fight back. You are going to be discouraged. You're going to have awful thoughts. Perhaps people are going to call you hateful, ugly, bigoted things. I can tell you from personal experience, just being in Mama Bear ministry, some of the most vile things that I have had said against me have been from allegedly other Christians. It's incredible the work the demonic realm does. But what we tell them is, baby, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Sometimes it means that you are doing something right for the kingdom. And in fact, if you want more information regarding spiritual warfare, Frank Turek just did an amazing 2-part podcast series with Carl Payne. It's K-A-R-L-P-A-Y-N-E. It's phenomenal. He's got an amazing book called Spiritual Warfare, and he lays out how the demonic realm works out and can even oppress other Christians as well. So if that's something you're specifically struggling with, highly recommend that podcast series as well as the book, because we need to be aware of the demonic realm of the spiritual warfare. And so many times that's not spoken a lot about in church because it feels uncomfortable. It feels like, ooh, we're just being woo-woo or whatever the phrase might be. But no, this is reality. And if it's reality, we need to be equipping our children on how to engage with reality. And so that's what we need to be doing, is building up our kids, saying, baby, we do not need to be intimidated by the spiritual battlefield because we are in submission to the one who's already conquered it. So go forth boldly, good Christian soldier. So those are the things that we covered today with regards to this podcast with Wesley Huff. Like, what do you learn when you just go down the rabbit hole of the Wesley Huff, Billy Carson, the Joe Rogan, all of that together? What do we learn? First and foremost, the importance of hermeneutics, because the right interpretation of scripture matters and how we understand the ancient text matters. We need to affirm and react with dignity and respect to our opponents, especially when we are addressing falsehood or errors. Because as someone once said, and I don't remember the gentleman who said it, because when we are addressing these issues, we aren't just addressing ideas, we're dismantling someone's worldview and their sense of reality. And you cannot do that haphazardly. But you also do not shy away from it, because we adhere to truth, not to the feelings of those around us, but we can be respectful of those feelings while we are emboldened to speak life and truth. So recognize the human dignity in each and every person. Then three, don't lose sight of the main thing. There we go. Had to get back up to my list, which is Christ. That when those opportunities, the movements of the Holy Spirit to ask the other individual, who is Jesus, do not shy away from those, but boldly offer that godly accountability. Four, have humility in correcting your errors, because it's only a matter of time to where you're going to misquote, maybe twist a number or something, or you're going to misremember something. It happens. You're human beings. But what we can affirm is, yes, while I am finite and broken, God can use the finite and broken. And through the early apostles, he directly inspired them through the power of the Holy Spirit to accurately transcribe the word of God that has been accurately translated and transcribed over thousands of years to what we have today. And it's amazing. And it's a God-given blessing. And lastly, prepare for pushback. Because again, when we fight against the spiritual realm, the demonic realm is going to push back. But we do not allow that to now silence our voice for truth, especially when there's error and souls at stake. So how can we use this as parents? So as I mentioned, through your discretion, again, I'm leaving it all up to you. Watch these interviews with your kids. Again, the original Wesley Huff and Billy Carson, which we're going to post in the links. That interview is completely age appropriate. The Joe Rogan one, as you know, Joe Rogan, it's not one that I would watch, unless your child's maybe 15 and older, because honestly, they've heard worse things at school. I promise you. So watch these, discuss these tips with your kids, and then encourage them as well. There's a few things we can do. For one, as I was listening to Wesley's background, It aligned a little bit with my own as well. He had gone to college initially having the desire to be a detective. And instead, God used that love of investigation. And now he is working in New Testaments and manuscripts and all these things. So when we submit our passions to God, sometimes he will take those passions and then mold them to form a separate ministry. And it's incredible how he does that. So, if you've watched my first interview with Hillary, I wanted to be a storm chaser. I wanted to be chasing tornadoes. And God used that love of meteorology and instead directed me into theology and apologetics. It's incredible. So submit your passions to God. You may have a ministry completely dedicated on the passions that you have now. Or your passions may be a stepping stone that God is using to get you to the ministry that he's preparing. So be willing to submit those passions to God. Two, study what gets you excited. Like, what gets you passionate? What is a topic that if somebody brings up, you're not going to shut up for 2 hours? You know, dive into those, because those passions are important, because those can be modes of study that you can immerse yourself. And those can be an incredible apologetic to those around you. But you always, number three, always want to have a thirst for knowledge, meaning don't just stick in that lane, because maybe you're going to encounter somebody that they may need to hear something a little differently, or maybe they have a question on a different topic. And so it helps for you to be able to sort of dabble in other topics as well. Now, you don't have to have all the knowledge. I mean, Wes Huff admitted over again, he's like, man, I have no idea about any of that subject. That's okay. You don't have to have all the knowledge. But you have to be willing to learn and to dive in when it's there, especially when the opportunity arises. When somebody asks about something, you're like, you know what? I've never studied that before. That's fascinating. Do you mind if I dig into that and then I can get back to you? Now, all of a sudden, your gap in knowledge can be an open door for ministry to somebody else to have further conversation. How incredible is that, right? So always have that thirst for knowledge. Submit your passions for God. Study what gets you excited. And then, like I suggested, if you want to check out these interviews, I highly recommend them per your discernment as well, because this is a great modeling of how we are to reflect Christ when interacting with someone who does not agree with our position, and how to do it in a way that really just models that Colossians 4:6 approach. It really was incredible. So mamas and papas, I hope this has been a blessing for you. And if you have a question, a topic, something you would love to see us address, shoot us a message at our Facebook account, and we would be happy to curtail content to meet you exactly where you are, to get you where you need to be with your kids. So thank you so much for joining me today. Loved having you here, and we will see you next time at Mama Bear Apologetics.